Our guest resource is Ann Miller, the founder of Chiron Associates, and she's a widely respected sales and presentation speaker, seminar leader, and consultant. Ann Miller advises high-profile Fortune 1000 companies in the media, financial services, consumer products, and business sectors on presenting and selling their products, services, and ideas. Clients include Yahoo, Citigroup, and the UN. She is the author of 365 Sales Tips for Winning Business and Presentation Jazz, as well as Metaphorically Selling. She lives in New York City. I'm talking with Ann Miller. Her book is Metaphorically Selling. And I've got to get the difference between a metaphor and a simile.
Okay.
So if I say that sales training is like an exercise program, you should never start either with the intention of ever stopping.
Right.
Have I done a metaphor or a simile?
Well, you've really done an analogy.
An analogy?
Yeah, it's an extended simile. It's very simple. Simile is with like or as.
Okay.
And a metaphor is a substitute.
All right.
So selling is a road warrior's game would be a metaphor. Selling is like a game would be a simile. And then the extended comparison would be an analogy. But, you know, in point of fact, it doesn't matter.
it gives you a visual.
If you just think of it as comparisons,
okay,
then for purposes of business, it works really well. If you're writing a poem, it doesn't quite work the same way. But we're not writing poetry here, unless you call it business poetry.
Metaphorically selling. Successful salespeople do use metaphors and analogies to increase understanding. What inspired you to write the book, Ann?
Well, it's one of those serendipitous things. I do a lot of presentations, training, and help people sell millions of dollars worth of business. And I always make the point that metaphors, analogies, and similes are very, very powerful ways to make your point and overcome an objection. And one woman one day in a Business Week seminar said to me, "Is there a book on this?" And I said, "Not yet." And then proceeded to write the book. And I've always collected these things. I've always been aware of them when I see them in the papers or hear them when other business people speak. And so it was pretty easy to put my thoughts together and come up with a book. And I must say, people have really taken it to heart because there's nothing out there like it.
No, it makes a lot of sense, and it really is a way to cut to the chase. When does a salesperson need to use a metaphor?
I think they need to use them in many places in the sales process. If you want to put them in buckets, if you want to make a point, you really want to drive home a point, and point could be about anything. It could be about how you are unique. It could be about how your system works. It could be about how much money someone's going to save. It's always good to lace it with a metaphor, or what we're calling, whether it's a silly analogy, it doesn't matter, but with an image. If someone is expects an objection, the best way to get around an objection, because what is an objection except someone's perception?
Mm-hmm.
The best way to change someone's perception is not to argue them to death with data, but to shift that perception by comparing the situation to something that they know in their own lives. And then their only reaction can be, "Oh, now I see what you're talking about." So wherever you know you're going to get an objection or resistance or a concern based on fear, it's a good time to plan to have an analogy or a metaphor.
I don't know if you want to talk about this. You tell the wonderful story at the beginning of the book about Lee Iacocca.
Right.
And he's trying to get a $1.2 billion loan, and most people are thinking of it as a bailout for Chrysler. Now, this is a long time ago now.
But it makes the point really well, doesn't it?
Yeah, tell that just... Boil that down a little bit.
Well, basically, he needed the loan to help to bail out Chrysler, just as you described it. And so long as the media was controlling the framing of the situation by saying, it's a bailout, we don't give bailouts, he was never going to get the loan. But what he did, he was so clever. He said, "No, don't be silly, it's not a bailout. It's a safety net. You're providing a safety net for workers in America, just as you provide a safety net for other things. The government provides a safety net, military safety net. This is a safety net for American workers." And once he couched it in those terms, a congressman would have been hard-pressed to vote against a safety net. The power of one word, one image, and he got his money.
Yeah, it's so much more powerful to say safety net than bailout.
Exactly.
And so much more, I guess positive is a better way, it's more positive.
And the associations that you have with a safety net are far more positive than the associations you have with a bailout. And it's very timely when you think about the subprime mortgage mess we're in right now. Do you bail out the banks, or do you provide a safety net to the people who have been the victims of this? Interesting.
It is very interesting, and we'll see how that plays out.
Exactly.
It'll be
exactly.
interesting. So let's go back and say, how can I use a metaphor to tell how great my service is or how great my quality is? You've got a lot of examples in the book, but I'd like to get a concrete example of how I might do that.
The more abstract you are, the harder it is for someone to grasp what you do. And also, it just becomes background music. You know, it doesn't penetrate. The more concrete you can get, the more connection somebody can make and say, oh, yeah, now I understand what you do. So a very simple example is a gentleman in the Midwest who is a health consultant. And there's nothing wrong with saying I'm a health consultant. I will help you go through, understand your diseases and go through the forms with you that you have to fill out in the hospital and to get insurance. Okay, but that doesn't really stick with you. But what he does is he says, well, I'm your guide through the healthcare jungle. That's much more robust, isn't it?
Because anybody...
You see the jungle. Everybody who's in the jungle wants a guide. You know it's dangerous. You know you can get killed. You can get hurt. And what's lurking in that jungle? And here's this person who's going to guide you through the jungle. It's a wonderful way to position himself.
It's a powerful metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who's ever even taken the first step into the healthcare jungle knows it's a jungle.
It's a hell.
And who wouldn't
it
want
really
to
die? It really is.
Right.
So, or it could be a guide through healthcare hell. Be the same thing. There's a woman who sells pianos, and she doesn't say, I sell pianos. She says, I'm a piano matchmaker. I get to know you and understand you and what you like, and I put you together with just the right piano. And that is a much more, again, robust description of what she does. It's emotional. We understand what a matchmaker is. There's the whole love connotation in there. Much easier to remember.
So it's really thinking about what you do and then trying to find a way to link that to an experience that people have already had.
Exactly.
So they understand you in seconds instead of in 20 minutes to an hour.
Right, exactly. And you want to take your metaphors or your comparisons from very simple things, from what people know. It can be from any world. It could be from the world of sports. It could be from the world of adventure, music, movies. Doesn't matter. Transportation, nature.
I'm the Rolls Royce of sales trainers.
Something like that. Now, you've got to be careful. You don't want to be too much of a cliche. I mean, you don't have to be a poet, but you know, if you say we're the Bible of the industry, it's a little cliche, the 800-pound gorilla. It's still an image. It's better than nothing. But, you know, instead of saying we're the 800-pound gorilla, you could say something like, and if you want to still get across the notion of being the best and the biggest, you could say something like, you know, if you took the Oscar, the Tony, and the Screen Actors Guild Awards and had to give them to somebody, you'd give them to us. That's how good our performance is. I mean, people understand that.
Yeah.
And it's just another way of looking at what you do.
You do something that I really like, and you really walk people through a process for creating these metaphors,
mm-hmm.
where you start to think about words that associate with that particular product or that particular person.
Yeah.
And as they go through that process, it becomes more obvious what the metaphor is. Could you just talk
sure.
about how you'd walk me through that with just one thing? I mean,
absolutely. First of all, you have to figure out what is the problem here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say somebody is very happy with an existing supplier. So what is the blind spot? It's not the supplier. It's that this person is content with this supplier, doesn't see a need.
Mm.
Again, you can jump up and down and wave your hands. The fellow doesn't see a need.
Right.
So how do we make him see a need? So let's say your goal is to have him add you to the mix. So how do I get him to see that he should add me to the mix? All right, first step, he doesn't think he needs anybody. Second step, what do I know about this person? What world is he familiar with that I can draw upon? Is he a sports person? If he's a sports person, what game does he play? What industry is he in? What city does he live in? You always know something about somebody.
Yes.
And you could say, for example, one of my favorite ones is to say, okay, this guy plays tennis, and then I'm going to play off the tennis, or he plays golf, I'm going to play off the golf. And then you create the metaphor. You say, Harry, you say you're very happy with supplier A. Fine. I know you play tennis. Let's look at supplier A as your forehand. You can play a pretty good game of tennis with a strong forehand. What you do is you run around the backhand. But once you add a backhand stroke, you're a much better tennis player. And that's what we're saying here. Keep your current supplier as your forehand. Add us as your backhand. Together, we can really make you strong in your game. Now, if you play tennis, that makes perfect sense.
Absolutely.
Now, let's say he doesn't play tennis. He plays golf. Now, I don't play golf, but I know enough about golf to know that there's more than one club in that satchel, right?
There is.
To say, Harry, you play golf, right? Yes, I play golf. Well, do you play an entire course with just a wood or an iron? And, of course, what is he going to say?
No, I have wedges and putter.
Yeah, exactly. Different shots, different clubs. That's what we're saying here. Your current supplier is very good at X. Let us come in and handle the Y business because we're very good at Y. And between the two of us, you're going to get the best service in town. Now, if you play golf, it's a reasonable argument.
Mm-hmm.
And it just stops people. It makes them look at the problem from a different point of view. And it gets you common understanding.
Yeah, you cut right to the chase, and you relate to something they already know. You make it simple.
Right.
And you make your case without having to go through 22 pages of...
Exactly. Another one is people will say, well, you know, you're all the same. You're all the same, you're all the same. Commoditization is a really big problem these days in products and services. And you can argue till you're blue in the face how you're different. Their perception is you're all the same. So, again, you don't have to know a lot about somebody. But if you're in their office and you see a picture of their children, even if you don't see a picture of their children, you can ask them, do you have kids? And, yeah, I do. How many do you have? I have two. Terrific. Are they the same? Personality. And then anyone who has children will immediately say, no way. And if you say, how are they different? And immediately they will go into, well, little Tommy is aggressive and he does this, and little Susie is sweet and reliable. And they're seeing their own children, and they're seeing the differences in their children. I don't have to see the differences. They do. And then all you have to do is make the connection back and say, see, it's just like your children. They're both your children, but they have very different personalities, and you would rely on them for very different things. Isn't that true? Yes, it is. Well, the same thing is true with my company and this other company. Yes, we're in the same industry, but we have very different personalities, and people come to us for different reasons. This is why people use us. And then you would go into your explanation of why people use you.
For part two of Chris's interview with Ann Miller, go to the expert interview section of the Max ATM.